This second session, we look at the covenant family, and we will concentrate on building and strengthening the relationships in the covenant family, relationships between husband and wife and parents and children in particular. All right, so let us, for a start, turn to Ephesians 5:22, and we shall read until Ephesians 6:4. Right, Ephesians 5:22 and until chapter 6, verse 4, we shall read responsively. I shall begin. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Any fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in a fear at admonition of the Lord. The Lord bless us in the reading of his holy word. Now, the biblical covenant family is the basic building block of society and of the church. And this is instituted by God, right? The Lord God is the one who instituted this. It's his idea that there should be the covenant family. And of course, it should be based on the word of God. The people in the covenant family, the relationships, how they operate, it should be based, therefore, on the word of God. Right. In fact, the family itself is a house church because it is a place where children first learn about God and are shepherded by parents and are taught to love and care. Right. So the family, the home, the Christian home is actually a church in God's eyes. Right. Because it is in there that you have the pastor, who is actually the father. Right. And then you have the children. Right, who are being brought up to follow the teaching of the shepherd, the father, and according to God's word. Right, and they're brought up in love and care. And so how can we want to consider how can we grow this covenant family, which is so important to God, right? Because he's the one who comes up with it, and his will is in it, and certainly he has given us his blueprint, his ways of how that we should grow this covenant family. Creating and maintaining a covenant family takes effort, one where love is the center and Christ is honored. Not an easy thing, right? How that we may grow this covenant family. Because surely it takes a lot of hard work. Just like as we seen in the earlier session, to bring the children up and to become covenant children in a covenant family is a lot of hard work. And there are dangers involved also if you're not careful, if you let it be thinking that naturally they will come to the Lord. It's not so. Right, we need to do our part. So in the same way too, even as we have this covenant family, we have husband and wife who are believers and children who are also believers. Well, how do we relate one with another in order to make this home truly a God-centered one, a Christ-centered one, and a loving home, a Christian home? So, of course, we will never be perfect parents to make the covenant family a perfect home, right? But, of course, we need to try. We need to try. With God's help, right? Except the Lord built the house. So we need the Lord God to help us still. And by His grace, He will help us. Right? So the covenant family has to be built and strengthened through love, the love of God. Right? The love of God, just as we need the love of God to help us to bring the children into this covenant family. We need the love of God to help us to go through in living together in this covenant family as husband and wife, as parents and as children. So there's love towards God, love between husband and wife, and love of parents for the children, and children's love toward the parents. Right? It's all love all around. Right? First, of course, it's towards God. And then the horizontally, that is love between husband and wife, parents and children, children and parents. So we shall consider some of the top factors in creating this love-filled environment in a Christian home, in a Christian-centered covenant family with full joy and gladness. If we do so, then there'll be joy and gladness, truly. It's just a wonderful place, right? Truly a heaven on earth in this Christian family with the wife and husband, and then later on with the children coming in to join them. So firstly, we look at the husband and wife relationship, how they ought to relate with them, with one another, to build a strong husband and wife relationship. The husband and wife relationship is that relationship which is the very center of any covenant family or Christian home. It all starts with this, right? The Christian covenant family starts with the husband and wife. Right, the Lord God brings the man and woman together to join them together in holy matrimony, and that's where it starts. And so they need to relate one with another in order to build this covenant family. Even before the children comes, it's so important for them to build a strong relationship before the children comes. Right, so the Lord God is the one who instituted this covenant family, and He's the one who instituted the covenant marriage. Right, marriage is also a covenant. Right, as we see in Malachi 2:14 there, it speaks of marriage as a covenant. Right, husband and wife, they come together, they say their vows together, they promise one to another to be together. Right, so that's why there's no such thing as divorce or separation in a marriage. It is to have us do part. Right, and they therefore have to build on it. And again, it does not happen. It does not just happen like this, that they can have a blessed and happy family as husband and wife. For a start, but they need to work on it, right? And so the Lord God tells them, right, in when He make man and woman and bring them together, and He said to that the man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh, right? So from here we see that the union of one man and one woman must be a union in the living God, right? And yes, they come together as one flesh in God, right? God never intended marriage to be anything other than the involvement of three persons, actually, right? Not just the man and the woman, but actually the man and the woman. And God, God must be in the midst of them, right? God must be in the midst of them. For it is the Lord God who instituted this marriage, and it's the Lord God who brings them together, right? That they may be wife and husband, right? And so God must be in it. God must be in it. God cannot be left out. Adam and Eve were not made only for each other, but they were made for God. They were made to know God, to love God, and to serve God. And they were made to know, love, and serve God in their marriage. And that was the will of God. Right? The husband and wife relationship with God is the most important factor in the success or failure of a Christian covenant family. So, whether we want a covenant family to be successful, and according to God's will and to have His blessings, well, the husband and wife, they must truly relate one with another. It's so important for them to do so, right? To build a strong relationship. the most important single factor in a covenant marriage, and therefore in a covenant family, is the relationship of husband and wife to God, a loving relationship unto God and towards each other. And again, of course, firstly, it must be towards God. Both of them, either of them must come to God, and then together they come to God and then relate one with another in the love of God. Right? So it is so necessary for them to do so. If there's no spiritual oneness in your marriage, in one's marriage, then the deepest hunger that you have will not be met. Right? There must be this spiritual oneness. The deepest capacity for love will not be there. The deepest capacity that a man and woman has to love is only to be found in God. And if there's no spiritual unity in God, then the God of the Bible in your marriage, and if you do not make that primary, right, the thing upon which you work day after day, then the deepest intimacy in your life can never be centered. So if husband and wife, they want to have a marriage that is a very loving relationship, then God must be there, right? He must be there, and he must be in the center of it. He must be first and foremost, right? So that it's a spiritual relationship with God and with one another, that it will be a blessed, truly, marriage. And all that we want, all that we can dream of, will materialize, right? For the Lord God will bless such a marriage. The home is built on the unity of the husband and the wife, whether they are children of present or not. And what a beautiful thing it is when by God's grace, they are united in God. You have to be united in God, husband and wife, right? And whether they are children or not, right? You know, whether children, even before the children come, and if no children were to come, right, they still have to continue to build on this together as one, united in the Lord, right? And by God's grace, they will be blessed richly. So the husband and wife must also, therefore, know to love each other, right? It is not just the spiritual relationship that they have one with another and with God, right? The first thing, that is towards God, right? But then they have their part also as husband and wife to relate one with another, right? Having related with God and put God first, they must know how to relate one with another as husband and wife, as man and woman. The Bible teaches that God has given to men and to the woman their distinct places and responsibilities. Every husband and every wife has their own place in the marriage and their responsibilities in the marriage, which the Lord God has, of course, stipulated to us, right, in His Word. God has given to the man and to the woman in marriage their own individual responsibilities and calling, right? Each one has his own calling. Each one have their own responsibilities. In Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said unto Adam, I will make an help meet for him. That is a help answering to him. Firstly, we look at that of the wife or of the woman, right? And the Lord God make the woman and to bring her to Adam. And the Lord God told Adam that he will make an help meet for him, right? A help answering to him, right? Which Adam needed. So the woman was made to complement the man, right? Or the man and the woman were made to complement each other, right? So the Lord God brought the woman to the man in order to complement the man. And then, of course, they will complement one another, right? Also, okay, even as they live together as husband and wife. And so the woman was made to answer man's needs, right? And emotionally, intellectually, physically, spiritually, in all aspects, right? The wife is to meet the husband's needs in all these areas, and husband is incomplete without his wife. And the wife was not made to exist on her own, but to exist with her husband. Okay, so this is God's design, God's plan for a woman when she marries a husband, right? And she cannot exist on her own anymore, right? It is not herself, but it is not me and you, but it is us now, right? So the wife has got to live together with the husband, not on her own anymore, right? She has a responsibility towards her husband. So this is made further plain in Genesis 2:24, where we read that the man and the woman shall cleave to one another and shall be one flesh, right? As the Lord God says, as we saw earlier, the man and the woman shall cleave to one another and shall be one flesh. It's one. right? To be one flesh, of course, does not mean simply two bodies joined together. It is not simply also two people sharing a house or to share their finances, right? This is not marriage, right? Coming together to do things together is not marriage. But to be one flesh refers to the total commitment to intimacy, right? Between the man and the woman in all areas of life, mind, heart, and affection, right? So that's why, you know, in today's world, there are men and women who may just want to come together, to live together in one house, right? And to share things, furniture or properties or cars or whatever, right? But that is not marriage, right? Because in a marriage, there's this commitment, right? Commitment to intimacy and with the whole mind, with the whole heart, and truly with the whole soul as well, right? So, and there are people in the world who come together to live together, just to live together, but not getting married. They're not prepared to do these things, right? So a true marriage in God's eyes is such, right? They must be together as one in that sense, okay? So God has also given the man and the woman individual responsibilities. One of the most beautiful, clear passages in the Bible is the passage we've read, right? So God has given man and woman, as they come together to live together, as to commit themselves one to another, and to love one another, to care for one another, to relate with one another. How do they do this? Well, we thank God that God, even as He gives His instruction, He also gives us His word, right? The steps, the things, very clearly stipulated to us what we ought to be doing as individual husband and wife, right? So that passage of Scripture teaches that when God created the man and woman, the husband and wife, there was a certain order that He made, right? We read that there's order. The husband must be the head of the wife, right? And the wife must submit to the husband. This is the order, right? In God's plan for a marriage, in God's plan for the husband and wife relationship, right? The husband is the head, the wife is to submit to husband. So it starts with, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and He is the Savior of the body, right? Starts with the wife, telling her that she is to submit to her own husbands, right? Because as Christ is the head of the church, right? He is the Savior of the body, so the husband is the head of the wife. And so the duty or responsibility of the wife, right, in the marriage is submission, right? It is submission. And God made man to be the head of the wife, and the woman is to follow. This is God's created order, God's plan for a very happy marriage. If husband and wife, and if the wife were to follow this rule, then it would be wonderful, right? It would be truly blessed of God. But sad to say that in today's world, and even in Christian family, right, in a Christian home, there are wives who are not prepared to submit, right? And we thank God that in our BP churches, we have the vows that we follow, and that the husband vows to nurture, to cherish the wife, right, based on the word of God. And then there is this part of the wife, and at that very moment when they marry and they take their vows, there's this part where in which the wife has to say, obey, right, obey the husband, right? But in many other churches, they don't have this, right? They say the same vow. The wife and the husband, they say the same vow, right? So, and in fact, even in BP churches, there are wives who, at a marriage, not prepared to say, you know, this word obey, you know, and at that very moment, still arguing about it, right? There was one case that I knew of, right, some years ago, and the wife was not happy, right, to say, to obey the husband. And well, you can guess what happened in a marriage. Today they are separated, right? They got married, and then they have children. But then the wife, since she has such kind of mentality and it is in her heart already, right at the beginning, and today they are separated. I'm not sure whether they are divorced, but they are separated, right? So, well, if we were to follow, the wife were to follow God's rule and to submit and to obey the husband, then the Lord will bless, right? Otherwise, you're only asking for trouble, Okay, so that's what God requires of wives. Wives are called by Christ to love their husbands, love their children, and to submit joyfully to their husbands. Right? Submit. This submission is a willing submission, voluntary submission. Right? It's not by force. Okay, so she should submit joyfully and gladly to the husband. It's not always easy, right? But we are called to love and care for our family, and before the mother, a family would quickly fall apart. So, not just the submit to the husband, but in fact, even to do a part. If she were to submit to her husband, she will also want to be a good mother, right, to the children, right, to care for the children and to love them and to teach them and to guide them and to bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord God Almighty. Not easy for the woman to do so, but still, right, the Lord God will bless, right, if we were to be prepared to obey. So a Christian covenant home comes by way of the mother who conducts herself with dignity. Right, one who is a submissive husband, one who is a submissive wife to a husband, will eventually, when the children comes, right, when the children, the Lord God bless them with children, also be a mother to them, right, and be able to bring them up in a fear and admonition of the Lord. So she lives as to show all those who pass through her door that life is best lived following God's word. Right, so one who is submissive to the husband and a good mother will lead them on, right, in the word of God. Right, so as what we earlier saw in 128, Psalm 128, verse 3, right, the wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Right, so, well, we truly pray that we may have wives who are truly like this, right, that they have... they are good wives, right? Obedient wives to the husband, and blessed and very caring and loving mothers to the children, right? So one of the strengths of women as homekeepers is their role in creating a warm, hospitable culture in the home, right? So a woman who is married, who plans to get married, you know, must be prepared to submit to the husband, and must be prepared to become a mother. Right, if one who is not prepared to become a mother and to devote her life to mother the children, to take care of them, then why should she be getting married? Right, because in a marriage, covenant family, the Lord God, it is in His will that He may give them children. Right, and if they give them children, the woman must be prepared to be a mother to them, right, to the children, and a homekeeper, right, to take care of the children and of the home, right? So the home is truly a place of rest and order and not a place of chaos, and with a mother who is able to be a homekeeper taking care of it. And this verse tells us that what a blessed family table it is, right? Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table, right? So it is not only about food, of course, which the wife and the mother faithfully and lovingly prepares each day for the husband and children, but about meaningful fellowship, right? As the wife and the mother prepares food for the husband and the children when they come back from work, from school, and, well, they can have a very good, sumptuous meal, and surely they'll be glad and be joyful to partake of it. But it's not just that, but it's also the fellowship, right? When as they come together, they eat together, and they fellowship one with another. They talk one with another. And that's what we do practice by the grace of God. My wife is a homemaker, right? And since the children were young, and has been providing, right, for the family and cooking. And then when the children come home, there's food on the table, right? They don't have to think of what to eat at the hawker center. And myself too, as I come home, there's food to eat, right? And then fellowship one with another. And it is at a table we share one with another. We ask questions, especially my wife will ask the children questions. So how's your day, you know? And if they answer it half-heartedly, she can sense that there's something wrong. Then probe further, right? And as she probes further, then more things come out, right? And then we get to talk more and get to know one another better, right? So that's how it is. A place of love, a place of communion, a place of communication, right? And then to build up this wonderful covenant family. And of course, it can be a prayer of prayer and devotion also, right? There are people who come together before a meal. Maybe they have a small devotion, right? Or after the meal, have a small devotion. But at least we we say grace, right? We give thanks before the meal together. So that's how it is, right? A mother and a wife who is devoted to the husband and also to the children, right? And after speaking to the wife, Paul then goes on to speak to the husband, right? So it is not just the wife who has got to work very hard for the family to keep it going and to bring the family together, the children and the husband, and to care for them and to provide for them, to work so hard and, you know, to become so torn down and so because of much labor. But, well, the husband has a part as well, right? So husband, love your wife. And it brings the redemptive pattern here. How are you to love your wife as Christ loved the church? Right, so this is absolutely awesome. What is the measure to which a man must love his wife, and he must love her wife so as reflected by how the church, how Christ loves the church? Right, so it is with that love that is sacrificial even. Right, the kind of agape love, the kind of love that is really self-giving. Right, and so he turns to the husband to tell the husband to love the wife, right? The husband's part, right, is to love the wife and nurturing love, right? Nurturing love, and he nurtures and cares just like the Lord God cares for the church, right? And the husband is to do so, right? That is the love that a man has for his wife, nurturing and cherishing and caring and even protecting, right, the wife. So husband's part. Husbands are to lead the family, love the wife, and family worship has got to be conducted, right? And the husband has got to be taking the lead and take the responsibility to bring the children and the wife together to worship the Lord God together, right? And then to bring the whole family together as a covenant family to fulfill God's will and to serve the Lord God together. So here is one responsible. He is one who is responsible for his family's spiritual growth, right? The husband. And many men do not lead their families like they should, right? Sad to say, right? We ought to be doing so, but many of us. So let us, the husbands here, the men here, think of this, right? Check our hearts and whether if we have been doing this. And if we're not, then let us be obedient to God's instruction, right? To lead our family together as a spiritual head, right, to lead them, just like the pastor leads the church, right, just like how Christ loves the church. So be your family's worship leader, right, husbands, be your family worship leader, and that's what the father is needed to be doing, right, just like we have got Old Testament saints who give us example, right, Job and Abraham and others, right, so be bringing the family together and to lead them, to worship the Lord God and to serve the Lord God. And this is what that we ought to be doing. A strong covenant family and Christian family is one with a father who is truthful and strong. Right, truthful. Give them the word of God, the word of truth, and then to help them to grow strong in faith, right, in the Lord. Right, so that's what he needs to be doing. Strengthen to know the difference between right and wrong and leading his family heavenward. Right, so guide the children, guide the wife too. Right, that they may be led in the right way, in a truthful way, and towards God, right, and to serve Him together. And that's what a husband has to be doing. Right, a father who teaches his family love, joy, and importance of praising God in song, right, leading them into family worship, in devotion, coming together to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God together, and to sing together. So that's what a father has to be doing, right, and such biblical pattern of a husband and wife relationship is vital to the family, right? This relationship is constantly giving off a powerful influence in every direction in the home, right? So even if the husband and wife were dumb, that is unable to speak, their married life would be giving a most eloquent and powerful instruction to the children of the fundamentals of the gospel. So if they live their life well, and even if there are cases in which the husband and wife cannot speak, but because of their exemplary examples that they show, right, to in relating one with another and show it to the children, surely it will. There'll be. They can actually portray a family that is truly blessed of God and according to God's will, and it will be a blessing also to the children, right? So Conform your marriage relationship to the pattern that God has revealed in His Word. And this is how that you build and strengthen a biblical covenant family. Right? Wives, submit to your husbands, and husbands, love your wives. Then, other than the husband and wife relationship and how they should build it and strengthen it, next is to consider in a covenant family, the parent and child relationship, right? As the Lord God, in His own goodwill, gives you children, and how are we parents to relate with our children, and how are children to relate with their parents, right? What is the position of a parent in the Christian home, and what should our priorities be? Of course, we did consider some of them earlier as we talk about the relationship between husband and wife, right? But we'll look at more. First and foremost, get your personal relationship right with God initially and continually, because your children will absorb this from an early age, right? The husband and wife must make sure that they relate one with another very well, and that as the children come, well, children are very observant, right? They can see. They can see very, and they can learn very quickly. And if their husband and wife are not relating what they ought to be, how they ought to be relating one with another, and, well, the children can see. If they're not loving, a husband not loving the wife, and the wife not submitting to the husband, children can see, right? Very quickly, they will be able to pinpoint, okay? And then sometimes they may even put questions across to them, right? And making them so tongue-tied they cannot answer, right? So love your spouse and your children unconditionally, right? Love one another as husband and wife, and of course, loving our children. And it should be unconditional love. All parents, as parents, we are trying to honor the Lord. We must teach the children how to love God and to obey us, right? Children are to obey and to honor their parents. So we have to love one another and love God. And even as we teach them to love us, right? And to love God, okay? To obey us and to honor us, and we have to teach them to love God. And in the first place, we ourselves have to love God, right? And so that we can really teach them how that they may love God, right? The goal of our parenting is not to make our children truly obey us, but rather to learn obedience, self-control, and to love the Lord, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, right? For this is right, okay? So it is not just basically obeying us, but they are to obey us in the Lord, right? So it is actually teaching them how to obey the Lord. And if they obey the Lord, they will obey us. If they honor the Lord, they will honor us as parents, right? So focusing the focus is truly on the Lord God, right? Ultimately, and then the other things will follow, right? God calls you to, this is a quotation from this person, Ted Tripp, right, who has written this book, Shepherding a Child's Heart. And a quotation in his book says this, right, that God calls you to exercise authority not in making your children do what they want, right, but in being true servants, authorities who lay down their lives. The purpose of your authority in the lives of your children is not to hold them under your power, but to empower them to be self-controlled people to live freely under the authority of God, right? So it is to teach them and to help them to grow up, to know that God is in control of all things, and that they may submit themselves to God and to love God and to do all things with dependence upon God, right? And if they can do this, then they will know how to deal with us, how to respect us, how to submit themselves to us, if they were to submit to God themselves, right? So teach them, right, how that they may love God. And of course, as we teach, we also have to show example, right? How we ourselves depend upon God, how we ourselves relate unto the Lord God Almighty. Do we show strong faith in God, right, and dependence upon God? So what is a parent, right? Is a parent simply there to supply whatever the child wants or needs, clothes and all, food and all that, right? Is that what a parent is? Well, no, not at all, right? The Word of God tells us that a parent is God's appointed mediator in a covenant home, right? He's the mediator. He's the one who humanly speaking, right, mediates between them and God. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one, right? Individually, He's the one who mediates us between God, us and God. But then as parents of our children, and in a covenant family, and we want them to become covenant children in the covenant family, we have our part, right? And to lead them to God, right? So we are the one who are responsible, right, to introduce to them the gospel, right, at the earliest opportunity, and to show them the way of salvation to God, right, and that they become children of God and that they can become obedient to God, right? So the parent appointed of God is the prophet, priest, and king in a covenant family, and that is with reference to his children, right? So there's this this is in particular the husband, right? The husband, right? Because he's the one who takes the lead. He's the one to lead the wife and the children. And so in order to lead the children to God, and in order that they become part of the covenant family, as a parent, the Lord God expects him to be a prophet, the priest, and the king, right? In a family, right? It's with regard to the children. So as a prophet, right, it means that you are responsible, right? The husband, the father, responsible to declare the will of God, to teach your child the truth of God, right? And the Word of God gives us such very clear instructions, right, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So we are to teach them the Word of God, right, that they may know the Word of God, know the truth, and come to the salvation knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to grow up to become children of God and be Christians. So we have this part to do, right? The love and fear of God is taught in a Christian home where there are family devotions, prayer time, and together, and words of blessing. This is done through, of course, family devotions, right, and prayer time together, and sharing with them the words of God, words of blessing throughout the day, right, as we bring them up in a fear and admonition of the Lord, right? And so as what Psalm 128 one says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, right? So as the father fears the Lord, he should be walking in his ways, and to lead the children, right, to come to know God, right, to teach them the Word of God always, right, so that they may grow up to become children who love the Lord God, who love the Word, and children who know the gospel. The father to the children shall make known thy truth, right? So the father is responsible to make God's truth known to them. In every aspect of their life, they are to be taught what God says about that aspect of life, right? That they must grow up to be able to look at everything through the eyeglasses of the scriptures. The children, as a father, we have to teach them, right, to see things in biblical perspective, right? Not in the worldly manner, not in the ways that men think, right, but in the ways of God, right, so that they may grow up to be dependent upon God, right, to know that their life may be guided by God, and they may do things God's ways, right, even in their studies, right, in choosing friends, later on in their life, even in choosing life partner, right? So if we are to teach them and guide them and lead them and to do things according to God's way and look at things in God's perspective in a biblical way, and then as they grow up, they will also, right, choose life mates who are God-loving, right, according to God's will, right, not according to the whims and fancies of the people of the world, right? So who is going to teach them that, right? Who is going to train them and give them that ability? Certainly not the TV and not the neighbors and not the school, but we as parents, right? We as parents. So God constituted it as such, right, that we who are the parents are the prophet unto our children and to teach them the Word of God, right? Just like the prophet gives us the Word of God, we are to give them the Word of God and help them to live their life according to God's Word and see things according to God's Word, right? And then we are also to be priests, right? To be priests. The idea would be for us to bear their weaknesses and bear them before God in prayer, right? So the prophet is one who represents God to speak to us. The priest is one who represents us to speak to God, right? So the idea here is that we bear as parents, bear their weaknesses and bear them before God in prayer, right? We teach them and guide them and lead them and bring them to come before the Lord God Almighty, right, in prayer. So as a priest, we must bear with the childhood weaknesses and imperfections of our children. And you are the priest to bear with those weaknesses and patiently to mold and instruct them and to bring prayer to God on their behalf. Okay, just like Job, we read of him that it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them. Right, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Right, so do we pray for our children? Right, do we pray for our children and commit them to the Lord God and pray for them? In fact, right from conception, and we should be praying for them and even after they are born, and to bring them before the Lord God Almighty and ask the Lord God for mercy and grace to save them. As we share the gospel with them, right, we need to commit them to the Lord God, ask the Lord God to work in their hearts and to cause them to be saved, right? And then the Lord God may bless them in their endeavors in life, in their studies, in their work, right? In all the things that they do in life, right? That the Lord God may help them, okay? And we know our children, right? Whether they are strong in this area or weak in this area. And if we pray to the Lord God, we commit them to the Lord God to help them, right? That they may learn to trust in God themselves more and more. And then as a parent, you are a king, right? You are a king. As a king, you rule over your household, right? So Joshua expressed his parental and kingly aspect in Joshua 24:15 when he said, but as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord, right? Serve the Lord God together with the father leading, right? Father leading them to serve the Lord God. We cannot leave it to them, then things may not happen, because these are spiritual matters and the devil will be working hard to cause them to turn away. And so we have to lead them, right? Joshua says, as for me and my house, right? As for me and my house. So his household, right? So it's for the parent to take the lead, right? You are there as a parent to admonish and to rule the word of God over your home, right? To guide and to lead them and to admonish them and to teach them according to the word of God, right? So we have to be in charge, okay? Not them, right? Be in charge. Parents must not be afraid to administer the rule of God in their home, right? Because this is going to be a covenant family, a Christian home. We have to use the word of God to guide them, to lead them, and to rule them, and that they may all learn to subject themselves to God's will. They must not be afraid. Their parents must not be afraid to administer order and discipline in a home according to God's word, right? You are God's king in a home, and to bring the rule or order of God in your home, right? So not to be afraid, right? Just like the pastor and the elders of the church, right? They rule the church according to God's instruction, God's word, right? And if there's a discipline needed to be done, they have to do so, right? According to God's word. So that's what we ought to be doing also as a parent, right, to our children, right? So for instance, a child, right, will come to you and say that, but mom and dad, why do you say we have to do this or do that? The neighbors do this and do that. And the boys and girls over, they also do this and do that, right? So, well, then we must say to them, right? Oh, but we do not look outside of our home. We look inside the Bible and we go to the Word of God to determine how we are going to live in this home, right? It is not by any other man's ways and means, but by the Word of God. Right, the word of God is the authority, and so Sunday is a Christian Sabbath, and that's the day that we go to worship together, and all of us should go to worship together. Right, so don't be afraid to use the word of God, and when children may come and to tell us, uncle so and so did say this, auntie so and so say this, so say that, but what does the word of God say? Right, so we have to train our children and to bring them up. In according to God's word, Proverbs 22:6 tells us, train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Right? And the word train here means narrow down. Right? Narrow down the child in the way that he should go. Right? According to God's way, the narrow way. Right? Train this child in the way that he is to go in every aspect of his life. Right? The narrow way of God. Or the narrow way leads to life, right? Broad way leads to destruction. Your child's mental, physical, spiritual, and social life, all of this must be trained, right, in a way that he is to go, right? That is in a way marked out for him in the Word of God. Train him in such a way that when he leaves the home, he will be able to take up his God-given role that he has learned from you, right? and how to be a good father and mother later on in life, a good husband and wife, a good worker, a good member of the Church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right? So it starts from the home there, and it starts from the Word of God that has been used, right, to bring them up in a fair admonition of the Lord. Then later on, we will see that they will do things according to God's way in all aspects of their life. For a child to go forth into life unprepared, for the home to fail and cause a child to limp through his life because these things have not been impressed in childhood. If that happens, nothing can take up the slack. This is parental calling, right? So our parental calling is to make sure that our child, okay, that they will not become independent of themselves, on them, on they do not become dependent on themselves, but rather to be dependent upon God's word, right? And if we do not do our part, and the answer to God's call to do what that we ought to be doing, then we have failed, right? You are a servant of God to prepare the child and to teach him in the way that he should go, right? You are the instrument in the hand of God to bring up this child in the fair admonition of the Lord, according to God's word. Right. Furthermore, to build a stable Christian home, we must fill your home with that which God gives to you to fill it. You must make it happy and a joyful home. Right. Of course, teaching them the word of God, and it is not just all discipline. Right. It is not just all admonition. Right. It is thou shalt not and thou shalt, you know. But we also teach them to learn to live a happy and Christian life. Right, because that's what it is, right? A Christian life is a happy and joyful one, and every day is a day of gladness as the Lord has made, right? So though we may be very strict with them in teaching them by the Word of God, and we also have to help to build a home that is happy and joyful, that they will be happy and glad to live in this home, right? And a Christian home that they look forward to come back to. Okay, so we must spend time, therefore, with our children, right? Other than just teaching them, we must love them and show genuine interest in them, talk with them, develop communication with them, and when they are just little children, and talk with them in every aspect of life, so that when they grow up, we find that it's easy to talk with them, right? Many people find it so difficult to talk with their children when they become teenagers, right? But if you were to talk with them right from the beginning when they are little ones, and then always have this close communion, and as they grow up, right, we find that it'll be quite easy, right? They will be opening up, right? And we must be showing interest, right? Real interest in talking with them, and then show that they know, right? They know that we're interested in them. And of course, it is not always disciplining them, but showing love and concern so that they are prepared, right? To open themselves up, right? To share with us their problems. Keep communication going, right? As they become teenagers, and not just one way, listen and listen and listen, some more. Right, that's what they expect of us as well. Right, even as we expect them to listen to us, they want us to listen to them, particularly to what they don't say. Right, listen to them, not just what they say, but what they don't say. Right, if they say something, it's just only monosyllable, then we know that there's something else that they are hiding and they're not saying. Right, so be consistent and stick to your boundaries. Sometimes to just say no and mean it. Right, so at times we may have to say no to them, we mean it. Right, so make family devotions an important part of your home, right? Each day, you must bring the Word of God to them. Have a time when you read the Bible with your family, and genuinely from the heart, open a Bible and have a set time of family worship, right, of prayer and Bible reading, right? That's what we need to be doing with our children. And then to regular family Bible study time is critical in a Christian household, right? And the Bible is not only loved by the family, but taught by both parents to the children. Right, a strong Christian home is where God's will, the Word, is a priority and sought after on a daily basis. Right, every day, and even before they leave a home, when they're younger, perhaps pray with them. Right, but they're older when they leave, and then we can pray for them. Right, as they leave for school or for work, and then make faith real. Right, make faith real. That means talk about answers to prayer. Talk about what happens to those prayers that we have uttered unto God, right, how God has helped you during the day, right, and how God has helped them, right, and let them see even your tears and failures and how you are so dependent upon God, right, yourselves, and trust in God, that God is the one who needs to help you to get things done and fulfill your aspirations and things like this, Right, so make it real at home, right, faith. And so we thank God that we have faith, we have a faith in our home. Literally, we have a faith in our home because one of our child is Lim Faith, right? And the reason why we name her Faith, actually she's a special child, right? The Lord God has given us four children, and thank God the first three are normal, right? The last one, he's, of course, in the eyes of the world, is not normal, but we say that she's a special child, and we call her Faith, right? So that we are reminded that we need to trust in God, because it's going to be very difficult, right, to have such a child. We knew it before she was born. In fact, we pray that the Lord God may even cause her not to be born when we knew her of a problem, right? She suffered this brain damage at birth. In fact, while in the mother's womb, her brain wasn't growing, right? So we prayed that she might not be born, right? But if she's born, then we need a lot of grace from God. So we call her Faith, right, in order to remind us that we have to depend upon God, right? And we thank God that she is given to us, and we have this faith at home, and that we all learn to trust in God, husband and wife, my wife and myself, and the children too, right? We have grown up to trust in God more and more, and to learn to depend upon Him. So make faith real at home, right? There must be truly faith in practice too, okay? And challenge your teenagers to put their faith into practice, right? To pray for healing for your friends and ask the Lord God, has God spoken to you today, right? You know, what are the things that, how has the Lord God helped you in your day today and things like this, right? And that they may see that they may be able to realize that they have a God who is so real, whom they can relate with. And, well, as parents, we have to make our children our priority, right? We have... It is time-intensive and most difficult role you will ever have. But as someone has said, right, on your deathbed, you will never wish you had spent more time in the office, right? In fact, I heard of one doctor, very successful, and he has three wonderful girls, and they have grown up so fast. But they are not with her, with him and the wife. They're everywhere in the world, right? In Australia, in this place and that place. And he says he regrets having spent so much time in the clinic, right, in order to earn more and more money to provide for the family, right? So let us be sure that we spend time, right, with our children. Otherwise, by the time they grow up and then they leave the nest, we may live to regret it, right? So it is not easy, but something that we have to work very hard on. It takes a lot of hard work, therefore, to build strong Christian ties within the Christian covenant family, right? A lot of hard work. Right, we have to spend a lot of time of devotion and a lot of toiling and labor. And it takes a lot of communication between the husband and wife. And you talk these things over carefully with each other. You talk about each child, his weaknesses and his strengths. Right, and try to figure out the best way of dealing with various situations and problems that come up with his life. Then you give of yourself with a wise and loving direction for the good of your home. Right, and it is a whole lot easier to do other things, but this is very vitally important. It's important for your child because the covenant family is a place where his spiritual life is nurtured. Right, so lots of work, right, but it's worth it. Right, God is pleased to use our families, and He's pleased to give children to us and give us a family so that the family might be the nursery for faith in Jesus Christ. Right, this is a wonderful truth in the Bible of the covenant of God. Right, the fathers are make known the truth of God. The fathers are to make known the truth of God to the children, because it's a familiar God, right? He wants the children also to be saved, right? As Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5 and again in 2 Timothy 3:15, that Timothy learned the faith and learned the Holy Scriptures, which made him wise to salvation when he was a child, when he was a little child, right? In fact, when he was still in the womb, right? And from his mother and from his grandmother, this is for us to emulate. Right, so don't forget to do what they need to do, and then were they brought up unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. Right, God does not turn away children. Right, pray for our children right from the conception that they will come to know Jesus as a Savior, for their life partner, for love and acceptance, for health and for healing, and for the school and for their peer group, their friends. Right, and don't forget to pray against the schemes of the enemy for your children, schemes that seek to oppose what God has for them. our children are exposed to a lot of things in life, a lot of dangers, right? And they are faced with in life. So we need to pray for them, that the Lord God may keep them from the evil one who is always bent to attack them. Right, pray with our children also. Continue it when they are older. Don't stop those bedtime prayers just because they are teenagers. Right, we can still pray with them together, have family worship together. Can be a very short one, right, since they are so busy, and come together to share their prayer items and then pray together. Maybe not daily, but at least once a week, right? It may be good on the Lord's Day, at the end of the Lord's Day, right? So, and then play with our children, right? And make a point of having fun in your Christian home, okay? And then don't get too bogged down with achievements, both academic and spiritual, right? And create family traditions, build memories so that in the future they can say, do you remember when? And we always, that's why we make a point to celebrate birthday, keep anniversaries, these things, right, so that we can have things to talk about and things to remember, right? So get regular family fun time is fun and will become memory-filled. The family should try as best as they can to have dinner together frequently. Do we do this? Regular family meetings where everyone has an opportunity to talk about things and where the atmosphere is loving, open and safe, and help create trust and a sense of security for everyone, right? Try to come together as often as possible to have time together, right? Don't allow any distraction like watching TV while eating dinner, right? Make sure that when we come together, these things are cut off, right? So have it in the dining room and don't bring the TV in. But then sad to say that as the other day I was telling my wife that we can bring the TV in now, right? Because of your laptop and all these things, and it's a sad thing, right? But we have to control, right? We have to control. Make sure that these things don't come in, right, and disturb us in our time together, right? So the meal should be the time when the parents can talk to their children about school and other activities, right? So in these modern times, there are almost always school or work-related activities that don't always allow everyone to be together, right, for that important meal time, right? But every effort should be made as often as possible, okay? And we thank God that as Christians and we have the Christian Sabbath, and once a week at least, right, we can be together as a family to do things together and then to eat together, right? Though during the days of the week, we may be busy, right? And because of studies and work, we may not have a chance to be together. But at least on the Lord's Day, right, we can make sure that we come together to eat together and to fellowship together. Right, so parents, right, we must fulfill our God-given role in the home. Let our children know who the daddy is and who the mommy is, and how they love each other, right? As they look at the parents, how they love each other. It is natural for couples to argue on occasion, yes, right? But this should never take place in front of the children, right? Because they can see and they can learn, they remember, right? So never let them see one spouse berate the other. Right, they need to feel secure and to see their fathers as Christ-like in the home, right? And demonstrating the biblical image of a husband and a father, right? And so don't let them catch us doing such things, right, that are unchristian and not edifying, right, for them before their eyes. So let them know that they are loved, part of the family, but they do not run the family, right? Have rules to enforce them. And then your children need rules to help them to obey and to be transformed. It's not easy, but it is very important in strengthening a great Christian home. Right, so these are basic suggestions for building a strong and healthy Christian family. If you begin to implement these suggestions, then the Lord will reward you with a family that stands strong, and your children will grow up as spiritually healthy Christians grounded in biblical teachings and moral fortitude. Right, so, but don't feel guilty, right, if your home does not grow the Christian offspring you want, right? Of course, we need to do our part and to work very hard to nurture them and to bring them up in a fair admonition of the Lord God. But if we, if our children turn out to be not what that we hope that they may be, right, then, we don't feel guilty, right? Because you may be amazing and have done everything right by God's free will and extend all that your love to them and to care for them, and right, and then they can still choose to reject your values and beliefs,
Right, very sad. We do see these things in real life, that even a family with the father being an elder and the wife working and serving in the church so faithfully, and they've got children, and but one of them turned out to be one who is so disobedient, right, so disrespectful to the parents, and so dishonoring to them, right, and to other people, she may behave so nice, right, and people cannot imagine when you tell them that she's not like this at home, right? She's very much like a devil at home, right? So, but then thank God the other two children are okay, right? So there are cases like this where we may do all the best that we can, but children may turn out to be not what that we hope and hope that they may be, right? So, well, the Bible has examples of Cain and Abel, right? Esau and Jacob and Joel and Abia. So you may not have produced spiritual champions, right? But at least we have grown that loving, fun-filled, Christ-centered home which has opportunities for them. What we need to do is to do our part, right? We create this environment for them and help them to be able to grow up to become God-loving children, right? And God, parents-honoring children, right? But if they choose to reject and to not to abide by the ways of God and to follow what that we have taught them, then, they're answerable to God themselves, okay? So, but we have to do our part. So in conclusion, we praise and thank God that in His mercy, in Christ Jesus, He has restored the family in a Christian home in the sphere of the covenant, right? The Lord God Almighty has brought up that family, and it is a covenant family, and He wants the family to grow up together under His covenant of grace with the children, right? Coming to know God and to love God. Right, no Christian family, of course, is perfect and anywhere near to God's ideal. Yet, in this age, there is also a measure of sorrow and strife in the Christian family, in some more than in others. Right, so because we are still in the flesh and we are in the world, and as long as we are still here, there can be no perfection. Right, but we do not give up. Right, we have to still do our part and do our best with God's help. Right, God also has caused the Christian family to be a haven of blessing, even though there may be problems and difficulties and struggles that we may face in life, as husband and wife, as parents, as children. But we thank God that the Lord God has caused the Christian family to be a haven of blessing, a shelter in a world of confusion, of sin and ungodliness. Right, so this is a blessing that we have. And truly, the Christian family is one of the most beautiful pictures that we have of heaven in all its glory and blessedness. Right, so it's a wonderful thing, right, that we have a Christian covenant family that God has given to us. Let us pray.